I am reading Luke chapter 1, verse 38. And Mary said, Behold the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her.
Good morning once again. Happy Sabbath. Good to be here. See everybody here today. And today, you got to use proper words. You got to use these words that they've, you know, that aren't, the right words anymore. Used them for centuries, but all of a sudden, the words aren't any good anymore. So, just like the words God or Jesus, the word Christmas shouldn't be used. Anything that has the word Christ in it can't be used today. But we know that this is the time of the year that the world celebrates the birth of Christ. And it should be a time of real exciting joy. But is it? You know, the way they've changed everything and the way they do it, commercialized it and all this, and just seeing it over there in Abu Dhabi or Dubai or one of those countries over there in that new motel they built there, they've got a Christmas tree. And it's, I forget how many millions of dollars, tree, $11 million, because it's got gold and everything on it, you know. But, you know, that's all a gimmick. It's just to bring tourism in and collect money to get the people to go there. I couldn't afford to go anyway, so they're not going to get me there, you know. But it is. They've changed, Christmas to what it used to be, you know. And so the correct word, you know, is supposed to be holiday, you know. Holiday time, holidays, or even a holiday tree, you know, not a Christmas tree. But is it a day to be honored, or is Jesus Christ to be honored? Is man honored? Is only the only begotten Son of God honored? And we know we need to know that today as Christians in this Seventh-day Adventist. So let's have an opening prayer. Our kind and gracious Heavenly Father, I just pray and thank you that you allowed Jesus to come here, to become our Savior and our Redeemer. He came here to show us the Father. Came to show us that we can keep the commandments. Came to show us that he loves us so much that he wants to be with us and he wants us to be with him. So through the plan of redemption, all of this has happened, Father, as predicted in the Old Testament thousands of years before. And we see in Matthew and Luke the birth of Jesus, the birth of our Savior and our Redeemer, the Son of God and the Son of Man. In Jesus' precious name, amen. And I took this sermon from the Ministerial Association there. But the precise day of Christ's birth is not given to us. We do not know it. And I believe that God, in doing that, it's not needed for our salvation. So God has left that precise time out for us, you know. Is it wrong for a Christian to celebrate Christmas? Is there a correct way for Christians, for us to celebrate it? As Adventist Christians, should we celebrate Christmas? Or how should we celebrate it? You know, many families have Christmas tradition. I did growing up, you know, had a Christmas Eve there. I had always had a Christmas tree. And of course, the one year that I had to climb behind it, knock it over three times in one day. But back then, you put it in a bucket of coal. You know, and had it, we'd open one present in the morning, or in Christmas Eve, and then in the morning, you know, we'd open the rest of them. We'd stay on there. We had a two-tier stairs going upstairs, and all of us would sneak down on the first tier there and sit there and wait there till my mother would call us and say that we could get up, you know. So everybody has traditions, you know. They gather, like I said, Christmas Eve and open one or all of their presents. You know, some have a special meal. Some even have a birthday cake for Jesus. And some may read the Bible story, you know, and the Christmas story that, you know. Others have the tradition of a tree, you know, and they decorated that tree, you know. Some plenty ahead of times here. I know that used to be just down the road here on Maple Avenue at the one house they put up a Christmas tree. And in next April, you would still see it there. So I don't know if they still do that or not, you know. But, what is the appropriate way to celebrate Christmas for a Christian, especially a Seventh-day Adventist Christian. And we need to look at the biblical account of the birth of Jesus to just see how the various players in the story responded to the birth of Christ. You know, and we need to, we'd be looking at some words: worship, celebrate, celebration, reflection, evangelism, and a vote of obedience as ways to celebrate the birth of our Son, of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And we know that it is true. As we read the scriptures, read the Old Testament, we know that all the prophecies about Jesus came true and everything else all there. So we will look and see there. And the first one is worship. And if you would turn to Matthew 2:11, we will see there that. And as I said, we've read the story over and over again. I'm not going to read it, but you can read it there for yourself. But you see, both the Magi and the shepherds responded with worship. The Magi offered gifts. The shepherd offered their praise to God. See that? The Magi, the shepherds, and all the participants in the nativity story gave themselves to the Lord. They worshiped God. And we are to do the same thing today, to worship our God. And there's at least two responses to do it in this manner. We should worship God because He is God. In Bethlehem, God came to earth for each and every one of us. Second reason is why God came to earth. Jesus came to the world to help us find the way to God so that we can get right with Him. We know that we are sinners and we do need, are in the need of a Savior. And He came for us 2,000 years ago. He came to communicate God's love to us, even to the ones that cast Him aside. And we know that there, at the birth there and right after that, there's many that cast Christ aside and wouldn't believe that He was the Savior, that He was the Messiah. He came to give life to each one of us. And we pray that we will have it. And we can read many stories of people who have become friends because of a gift of a kidney or a bone marrow. The one person gives sacrificially, and the recipient feels gratitude for the rest of his or her life. In my wife's case, we never did find out the recipient for her heart. But how much more grateful should we be to a God for allowing His Son to come here for us, to die for each and every one of us? And what plans have you made to honor the King this Christmas season? Luke 2:20, if you would turn there. Luke 2:20. Luke 2:20. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. See that there? And another way to respond to the birth of Christ is celebration. Know that when you use that word up front here, you start getting into trouble. But there is a time for celebration, for celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ. Matthew 2:10. Matthew 2:10. We know that observance of Christ's birth is celebration and joy. And we see here in chapter 2, when we read here, when the Magi saw the star, they were overjoyed. And we are to be overjoyed, too, when we read the story there. And when Elizabeth, who was Mary's aunt, you know, heard Mary's greetings, she said that her body jumped with joy. You know, and the Bible speaks of songs that were sung or spoken by Mary, by the angels, and by Simon, aged man that blessed Jesus at the temple there, you know. The birth of Christ was a time of joy, and it should be for us today at this time of the season here. Is there any better news than that God has come and opened to us the way to eternal life? Yes, through the birth of Jesus Christ, we have that assurance of eternal life. And one day soon, that we will be with our Savior. The second coming is near. We need to be ready. We need to help others get ready. And we need to do it today. We need to take care of today so that tomorrow can take care of itself. And then there's reflection. And we can see that response, reflection in Luke 2:19. Luke 2:19. Just a few small words there. We read that after Mary was told all the things the shepherds had saw and heard, she treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. And we are to do the same thing today, to ponder all of this in our heart as we read the scriptures, not just the birth of Christ, but the whole book, the whole Bible, to ponder upon it there, you know. You smiled when you had your first child. You know, many out here have had your child, you know. And it was a wonderful day that you had when you held that child in your arms, you know. You pondered how that life will change your life. And we know that it has changed us in many ways with our children that we have had, you know. And the responsibility given to each one of us for our children that we do have, you know. And it doesn't end when our children leave home. We still have responsibility for our children even after they have left home, you know. But we need to reflect upon the birth of Jesus, to stop and think about the difference that his coming has made in each one of our lives. And I pray that it has made a difference. We wouldn't be here today if it didn't, you know, didn't make that change, you know. And we look at the entry into the world, and it changed everything. Even for those who don't believe. The world has been changed, even if the leaders in the countries and nations around the world don't believe in Jesus. It has changed. So many things has gone. It's today because of what we read in the Bible. We need to find a quiet place to ponder all this about Christ's birth, you know. And we know that it will change our heart into having worship, you know. And then there's evangelism. How can evangelism be used for the birth of Christ as we read that story? Luke 2:17. Luke 2:17. It's a proper time to use this time to tell others about Jesus. We are told here in Luke 17 that after the shepherds met Jesus for the first time, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about the child. And we know that they do that because we know that the Bible is true. The birth of Christ is a life-changing event for all of us. It's changed each one of our lives. You know? And as it has changed our lives, we should be driven to tell everybody about Jesus and what he has done for us. You know? I know that sometimes we're afraid to do that, but we know that we have the greatest news of all for how Christ has changed each one of our lives. You know, we're kind of be hesitant about evangelism because we don't believe we can answer all the questions that the skeptics throw out at us about, you know, about Jesus and about all the things that are in the Word of God. You know, but we know that the shepherds couldn't do it either. You know, they were just able to rejoice over what the Holy Spirit had showed to them by sending them to see Jesus Christ. You know, but we can all testify today of what we've seen and heard and say, seen, you know, by reading the Bible and the scriptures. We can see it in our mind. We can look back 2,000 years ago to the birth of Christ and be able to realize it in our minds because the Holy Spirit has put it there for us. And obedience, as our readings were for today, Luke 1:38 and Luke 2:15, you know. We see in the original Christmas story that there was one response met by everyone, and that was obedience. And that's the same for us today, obedience to the Word of God. Joseph obeyed God. He took Mary as his wife and named the child that she delivered Jesus. The Magi, having been warned in a dream, did not go back to Herod. In Matthew 2:23, if you would turn there, Matthew 2:23. We see there where Joseph brought Jesus back to Israel, and he did end up at Nazareth because that is what God told him to do. He obeyed God. He obeyed that voice that spoke to Joseph. Mary responded to the request of the angel with the words, "I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said." Luke 1:38. The shepherds went to see the baby, Jesus, that the Lord's angel had told them about. Luke 2:15. Each person in the nativity story honored God by obeying him. And we are to do the same thing today. Obey God. They didn't obey just because it seemed like a good idea. They obeyed God because they trusted him. They obeyed God because they had faith. And that's what we need today, faith. And I pray that our faith has grown daily, every day, and at this Christmas time that it even grow more, Father, or more grow greater, our faith in the promises of God. And the promise that 2,000 years ago he sent his son here, and very shortly is going to send his son again for us to collect his people, and that we will be with him forever and ever, you know. And we know that it's an appropriate response to Christmas. If you love someone, you will show that by the way that you live. And we know that if you're grateful, you will show that by the things that you do. And at Christmas time, it's a good time to obey God. Forgiving an offense or letting go of resentment. Telling the truth. Reaching out to someone who is hurting. Receiving Christ as the one who can save and transform you. And we know that that is the only way that we can be saved and be transformed, is with Jesus Christ and what he has done for us. You know, obedience illustrates our devotion. We can read that in Matthew 1:24. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife. Matthew 2:12. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. Matthew 2:14. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed unto Egypt. Obeyed God in everything that they were told to do. And that's why that whatever way that we celebrate Christmas, we need to make sure that we look at worship. We look at celebration. We look at reflection. We look at evangelism. We look at obedience as part of that celebrating, you know. And it's wonderful that we all have family traditions, but we can still miss the celebration of Christ's birth. You can go to church and never worship. You can sing the carols of the season and never encounter Christ. You can spend thousands of dollars on gifts and still ignore the one whose life we honor today, or will honor next week. Enjoy your family traditions, but don't forget the King. And just a couple of words from the Adventist home. Everybody has the Adventist home. You can see it in the Christmas story or Christmas chapter from Ellen White, what she says about Christmas. Jesus, not to be forgotten. Brothers and sisters, when you are devising gifts for one another, I will remind you of your heavenly friend, lest you should be unmindful of his claims. Will he not be pleased if we show that we have not forgotten him? Jesus, the Prince of Life, gave all to bring salvation within our reach. He suffered even unto death that he might give us eternal life. It is through Christ that we receive every blessing. Make melody to him in your hearts, and let his praise be upon your lips. We may make the coming holidays an occasion in which to honor and glorify God. Christ should be the supreme object. Jesus, the majesty of heaven, the royal King of heaven, laid aside his royalty, left his throne of glory, his high command, and came into our world to bring to fallen man, weakened in moral power and corrupt by sin, aid divine. And we do that. We need to glorify God at this time of the year, but always to glorify God in the Lord Jesus Christ. Our Heavenly Father, Christ our Lord, thank you once again for sending him here to be our example, to be our substitute, to show us the Father, to show us the way to the eternal kingdom that is there for each and every one of us. And we pray, Father, at this time of the year, we will contemplate upon all that you have done for us. And we pray that we go from this place on fire for thee, children of the living God, waiting for our Savior to return. In Jesus' precious name, amen.